Everybody, let us gather and conclude our thoughts together before we start. So, Raf, as you guys know, is away on a missions trip in Cuba, so please keep him in your prayers. This morning, why don't you guys turn to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Before we pray, just real quick, we'll start with a little bit at the end of chapter 4, but for the most part of the study, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 5. So why don't we pray? Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. Father, we come, Lord, here to this church with different things on our minds, different things on our hearts. Lord, all of us come with different backgrounds. The busyness of life, our jobs, our studies, our marriages, and just a lot of different things, Lord. We come to you, Lord, this morning wanting to hear from you. And as we open up your word, God, I pray that you would speak to us, Lord, this morning. So we dedicate this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I titled this message today, Is Jesus in Your Home? Some of you might be thinking, okay, it's time for me to go home now. No, but the question and the title this morning is Jesus in your home? So there's this DHL driver in Santa Ponsa who knocked on the door of this guy to deliver a package. And if you're like me, if you order stuff on Amazon, I get really excited when it comes to packages. And while he was knocking on the door, he heard a voice calling from inside the apartment saying, "Help me! Help me! Help me!" So the DHL guy did, you know, the responsible thing, and he called the policía local. And the police came over, you know, like, what's going on? He's like, oh, I just heard, help me, help me. So the police get ready. They knock down the door, and they found the victim, a parrot. Help me, help me, help me. And this parrot was named, for example, Miguel. And after the police contacted the owner, they came to find out that this parrot could also, as well, bark like a dog, could also meow like a cat, and it could do also what parrots are most famous for, is that it could repeat phrases that it hears repeatedly at home. So it's interesting to me that the phrase that was repeated in this home was, help me, help me, help me. I have no idea what's going on in that home. Now, after I heard this story, because it's not my own story, by the way, I thought to myself, if there was a parrot inside our homes listening on often repeated phrases, what would that parrot be saying? This is why I, for example, do not have a parrot in my home, and also I really dislike birds, so... Perhaps it could be, help me, help me. Help me in my home life. Howard Hendricks, who wrote Heaven Help the Home, said, we are surrounded by foreign, hostile, and home-shattering influences in our world today. The supported elements of our society no longer feed and shade us. A Christian home must blossom in a field of weeds. And that is God's will for our homes, our marriages, our parenthood, for those who are parents, to blossom in a field of weeds. And that happened, and for that to happen, we have to have a priority, and that is the home. So not so much the house, all right, not so much the house, but the home. And this is something personally for me that the Lord has been dealing with me in my heart these past months. And that is, and, you know, I have an image here for you guys to help picture it better. The next image, please, Martin. How do I create a foundation to live upon my home? And let's be honest, no one wants to see our home life fail. No one wants to have a weak foundation in their homes so that when a wind of trials come its way, then our home crashes into pieces. No one wants that. The Apostle Paul, while in prison here, writes this epistle to encourage the church in Ephesus on how they ought to grow and edify the church. So let's take a look here at, I would say, the basic foundation of your home that Paul lays out here for us. Starting with first, the basic foundation. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Read with me chapter 4, verses 25 to 32. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And here it is, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So thinking again back with the story with the parrot listening in the home, have you ever considered what the Lord, the Holy Spirit, hears and puts up with, and how we act, how we speak and do inside our homes? What is the Holy Spirit? Just real quick. In the Bible, anytime we see a description of the Spirit of God, the Hebrew word here for it is ruach, is used. Or ruach, I don't know, R-U-A-K-H. And it can describe an invisible, powerful form and necessary for life, making the Spirit a fitting description for the very Spirit of God. So in the life of a believer, the Spirit of God dwells in your heart, and therefore, wherever you are, and yes, even at home, he is there with you. And we see here that Paul gives us a specific list of things that we should watch out on. We just read it. One, put away lying. Speak truth. Number two, be angry, which is interesting. Be angry, but without sinning. Three, do not leave any room for the devil. Four, work with your hands so that you give to one who is in need. And five, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. I would break the ice and confess that I'm surely guilty of all these things. But for sure, let's say two and five, be angry without sinning. And then five, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. I mean, it is tremendously hard when you are angry to speak good, to speak something that is from the Lord, let's say, when you're angry. And you know, for example, living at home in a multinational marriage and home, it has an incredible perks, has great perks. On the other side, I know, you know, I need to watch out with what I say, but I'll just say it. It has blessed challenges, let's say. With myself being American and my wife being German, certain things that we do or say, we handle situations a little bit differently than we are both used to. For example, and yes, I asked my wife's permission before I say this. You know, we have a queen-size bed back at home. And at home, I love this bed. You know, I don't want anyone else on it but us. I don't want to step on it. I love this bed. And when I get into the bed, you know, let's say with the blanket, there's 12 squares. So let's just be real. Okay, I'll maybe take 6 or 7 of the squares, and Valerie will take maybe 4 or 5. But for some reason, Valerie, I don't know how, can take up 9 to 10 of those squares, which leaves big me, Alex, only 2 squares left of the bed. How? How? Really? And then on top of it, not just that, whenever it comes to the blanket, Valerie just does a in bed, and then it leaves my whole legs all cold and exposed. And so we do a little tug of war action in bed, and like, I go back, and then I hear her, you know, with the blanket. I'm just like, wow. Don't know where I was going with that, but and I'm like, Lord, really? And the temptation is to get angry and to get upset and to get rude and feisty. Give me that blanket, woman, you know? Verse 26 says, be angry. That's normal, and it's going to happen in our lives. But just don't sin in your anger. In our homes, it is vital to remember to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Lord with what we say and do and act at home. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Man, that is convicting. Sometimes we're in arguments, and words come out of my mouth, and as it's coming off, I'm like, no, you know? If we know for a fact and say it, and we teach it, talk about God being in our home so openly, why do we live as if he isn't there? Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Also, Psalms 33, 12 says, the Lord looks down from heaven and he sees all of the children of man. You know, my bitterness, my anger, me speaking evil of someone or losing my temper with my wife grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. And why? It's not that God says anger and evil speaking causes my ears to burn, or bitterness and wrath are offensive to me. That's not what he's saying. That's not the idea. There's not a curse word, for example, that God hasn't heard before. And there is nothing. There's nothing that's going to shock him. God is grieved by how our speech, God is not grieved by how our speech, anger, or malice affects him, but rather grieved by how it affects us. He grieved not because he can't handle our sin, but because it hinders him from doing his work in us and through us and for us. So looking at this foundation of our home, to not grieve the Holy Spirit, having that structure there that is solid, that we can start with the building process afterwards, first for our home. So the end of chapter 4, verse 31, into chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, and that is, we're going to look at walk in love. So let's start. Read with me, starting from verse 31 of chapter 4 onwards. 31, sorry. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Notice how Paul mentions to let all bitterness, wrath, anger, etc., to be put away, and instead, the opposite, to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven us. You know, believe it or not, the Bible does have the keys to good mental health. Good mental help. And a very important thing for our mental help is to have a forgiving spirit. If you are holding bitterness against someone, that bitterness we're being that's in us can create and will cause a lot of harm on you. It can just eat you up. And the Bible constantly emphasizes the importance of forgiving and being forgiven. Yes, you have been wronged. Yes, you have the right. You have the right to be angry. Yes, you have the right to be upset over the whole situation. Go ahead, eat yourself up. Or forgive and be freed from that. Forgive and be freed. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, afterwards, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. See how verse 1, chapter 5, ties in with verse 32 of chapter 4. God is the ultimate example of forgiveness. Verse 2, read it again with me. And if you have a pen or a highlighter, I would highlight this verse for sure. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice for God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Jesus is also our ultimate example. We want examples. We want to follow people. We follow people on social media all the time. We can follow Jesus himself through his word. Follow that walk of love. You know, when I was a teenager in Germany, I used to go to this youth camp and lead worship there. And before I went to this youth camp, I always stayed with this Filipino family, Jackie. And before and afterwards. And whenever I was there, there was always this sense of just love. Just love. I mean, they would, you know, it's just crazy. I'm just thinking about food. How sad is that? They'll make just like great food, you know, let's just be honest. And then they would have a balcony on the side when it gets really cold. They had all of the drinks outside on the balcony and just like, go ahead, grab whatever you want. And you're like, oh, okay, you know, and grabbing whatever. And but also, you know, they would have fights, you know, but the fights always ended with love. It's just like this love. And I really liked that. I was like, wow, this is nice. I love that environment. And whenever I was there, they really treated me like if I was one of their own. They opened, you know, anyway, I'm just repeating what I just said. So just being real, but in love. And ever since then, I always wanted to aim to have that also in my home. A home filled with love that comes from Christ himself. And when we truly walk in love, the scent of that love is a sweet smelling aroma unto the Lord. Also spaghetti, also later on. Now, Paul gives us a list of examples that is the opposite of what it looks like to walk in love. Take a look. Verses 3 to 4. Here we go. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. It is interesting that Paul puts on top of the list the opposite of a unloving thing. He starts with the word fornication. And we see how Satan has so deceived and distorted things. Because the world relates to fornication, and bear with me, fornication with love. That's what they relate it with, fornication with love. And in fact, the world uses this term, let's make love. And they are referring to the act of fornication, quite often calling it lovemaking. When they're not married, going from one person to another person, making love. This type of so-called love, one of enticing the other person into an act of fornication, it is not considering the other person at all. When actually, they are actually only considering themselves and their own desire, wanting some type of fulfillment. And Paul is saying right here in the text, guys, these things, let them not even be named among you. We need to protect the godly love of our homes and not allow fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, coarse jesting, etc. I tell you that, you know, for example, the things that come on Netflix, you know, Valerie and I are just spending there for ages trying to find something good because everything there is just like crazy stuff, you know, and it appears to be good. We hit play and then realize, whoa, what is this? And then we always have to find something else. This is the world that we're living in today. And Paul warns us, let them not even be named among you. Look at verses 5 to 6. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. Sounds harsh. You know, beware of those people who say, hey, don't be so uptight with what you watch or with what you listen to. It's not a big deal. I mean, it's really not. It's not going to damage your home or your marriage or your children, you know? Or people who call themselves believers of God when all they do is make sexual, crude jokes that in the world's eyes seems quite funny and is tempted to laugh, but actually it's not funny at all. Verses 6 and 7 says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not even be partakers with them. Now, after first looking at the foundation, okay, of the building of our homes, you know, one, by not grieving the Holy Spirit, and now, as we just looked at, building our homes by walking in love, our next layer that we need to be building and walking in is walking in the light. Walk in light. Read with me Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and realize here, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. That light. Now, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said, what fellowship has this light, for example, with darkness? And let's just think about that for a moment. Light and darkness are mutually exclusive. They cannot coexist. When you turn on the light, the darkness goes away, right? But they don't coexist. They're not one. So spiritually, you cannot walk in darkness and walk in light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7 says, God is light, and in him, and we have to remember this, in him is no darkness at all. If we say, and this is really convicting, if we say with him, that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if you are walking in darkness, you cannot have fellowship with God. So, like it says in verse 11, Ephesians chapter 5, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose them. Now, I have a question. Are you walking in the light at your homes? Do you allow darkness to have any place in your homes? For some of those who don't know, I'm a dive master, and I used to work in the diving center in Port Andrax. I've been working here at the church, and I miss diving very much. And one of the greatest things about diving is being underwater, and you know, I'm a heavy guy, so being underwater with no weight, in some sense, and just floating and seeing the creation, all right, the fish, the rock formations of everything, even the seaweed. I mean, who cares about seaweed? For some reason, I like seaweed. And being underwater is just incredible. And even the silence underwater for me is just so beautiful. We hear cars, we hear people, we hear our phones. But being underwater, you just hear nothing other than yourself breathing, of course. If you hear nothing, then you're probably going to see the Lord in a minute. My point why I'm trying to bring up here is, you know, there's a very famous diving spot that's one of my favorite diving spots here in Mallorca. It's called the Madonna Cave. And at this cave, you show up with the boat, and you just see this 100-meter cliff, and the boat captain's like, all right, it's right here. And you're like, what? And you look outside, it's just all you see is water and a big cliff. And, you know, we get our equipment, and we go down, and the entrance of this cave is 28 meters below water. So you go straight down, equalize, straight down, equalize, and you arrive at this beautiful, big entrance 28 meters below the water. So you start, you have your flashlight on, very awesome. You start swimming, and the reason why they call it the Madonna Cave is because there's a statue of this goddess Madonna at the entrance of the cave. I just pretend that is Jesus and everything's good. So we start diving, and when we come back down, what we like to do as divers, we turn off our flashlights to experience how dark it really is. And I'm telling you, it is dark. Like, you can't see my teeth smiling. You can't see nothing. It is dark. But as soon as we turn on that flashlight, it can be even a weak flashlight. It's crazy. As soon as you turn on the flashlight, all of a sudden you can see. Even if it's just a little bit. You can see which way you're going. And the reason why I'm bringing all of this up is that it's the same when you have Jesus in your home and you walking in the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. And if Jesus is in your home, just like the flashlight in the cave, for example, it shines through your home and your life. And the result is no darkness at all. Now, once you have made that solid foundation that is clear, building your home, walking in love, and as we just talked about now, walking in the light, now the last and final part of the home, the upstairs, right? For example, the upper floor area is walk in wisdom. Read it with me, verses 15 to 18. Says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We'll pause there. But be filled with the Spirit. So this word, it's hard for me to say, circumspectly, whatever, in the Greek is used many times in the New Testament. It is translated as, if you guys are making notes, carefully or diligently, and also mature. This word has all of these shades of meaning. And Paul is saying, see that you walk carefully, walk carefully. Walk diligently, walk maturely. Not as fools, but as wise. And, you know, is your home filled with wisdom? Godly wisdom. Verse 16 says, and look at that, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Oh, how much time is being wasted. Even by the most careful planner. We live in an evil day and dark time, redeeming it by integrating the Lord into whatever you do. For example, when we are engaged in recreational activities, like for me, scuba diving, as I mentioned earlier, I like the sea and to feel the fresh water. I like to look at the fish floating underwater and enjoying the silence, being away from the busyness, like I said earlier. But while I'm diving, I remember when I used to be taking clients, I would have to take clients of 10, 12 divers. And while we will be diving, obviously, you cannot talk underwater. If you try to talk, you might drown, okay? So don't do it. But I remember so clearly that I would be diving underwater just praising God. Just, I don't know how, you know? Just be there underwater floating. God, you are so good. I never felt so overwhelmed by creation than being underwater. And I could really have that neat time of fellowship with the Lord while scuba diving in the Mediterranean Sea. You know, and it says here, redeeming the time. Redeem the time that you guys have because the days are evil. In our homes, we need to be wise. And what does it say in verse 17 again? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand. Understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, so so many times people can often be confused with the plan and the will of God upon their lives. And they go continuing, wasting time doing their own things, never really seeking God, never really knowing God's will for their lives. You know, God, why? Why? Why did you put me here? God, what do you have in mind for me? What work is that you want me to accomplish for you? What do you want me to do? Why have you placed me in this planet? We all know it very well that the will of God for our lives is to glorify Him through our lives and everything that we do, bringing glory to His name. Now, he moves on saying, don't be unwise. I know maybe you guys get excited for this one. Don't be unwise by getting drunk with wine. But on the other hand, be filled with the Spirit. Are you wise in your home? Or do you allow yourself... Well, okay. Or do you allow yourself for wine to take over you into a place where you have no control over your thoughts, over your emotions, over your actions? You know, I remember my dad telling me a story when he first became a Christian, and before he married my mom, Yuki, he was in a previous marriage, and in this marriage, this woman was an alcoholic, just drinking all the time. And then my dad gave his life to the Lord. And one time, you know, he came home from church just super pumped up. You know, you come back from church super encouraged, had sweet time of worship. You come home and she's drunk as can be, this woman, having a knife in her hand. And she's crying and angry at the same time. And with the knife in her hand, you need to choose this Jesus of yours between me or him. What are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? And my dad, with his guts, just said, you know, I cannot deny, you know, I like you and stuff, but I cannot deny what the Lord has been showing me. I believe in him. I cannot deny him. And the result of him saying that, she stabbed him. Well, he survived, but you know, after that, it was just crazy, you know. They obviously had a divorce and all this crazy stuff. And sorry, I'm just trying to find my notes. It is important for you, is it that important for you to be drunk in your home? How about doing what the Word of God says to be filled with the Spirit rather than getting drunk? Want to know what happens when we have our homes rooted in all of these things that we've talked about this morning? What are the results, the overflow, the outpour of it when we truly walk in love, when we walk in the light, and when we walk in wisdom? The outcome of it, read with me, is chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. When you sing normally throughout the day, or in the car, or in the shower, genuinely, what do you sing about? What do you guys sing about? For me, nothing is more beautiful when people in their every day-to-day lives, you guys are probably still thinking about what do you guys sing about. It's funny, I know. And not just on Sunday mornings when we sing here corporately, but singing to the Lord in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I believe that this can be an outflow of when your home is truly filled with Jesus. If you see this type of fruit in one's home or in your home, then you know that, man, Jesus must be in that home. And as the band comes up, today I want to encourage you, allow Jesus, not your own fleshly desires, but Jesus to rule and reign in your homes. You know, this past year, I just want to be honest with you guys. The reason why this teaching has come up is because this past year, I've been focusing a lot on building my home with my wife, Valerie. You know, and what comes up? Money, down payments. Been looking at investing in stocks, bonds, buying a house or buying an apartment. Kids, which we don't have yet, by the way, you know, just saying, but thinking about it, preparing for the future. Me being a husband, and after all, you know, soon to be a father, I need to nail that in the butt, right? No, I should have said that, sorry, but, you know, compact it, whatever, have it sorted. What I'm trying to say is that, not to say that all of those things that I mentioned are bad or from the devil or whatever. You know, it is good to plan. But realizing the foundation of our homes, is it based on what this world says? Is it based off what we want? You know, in a perfect world, I would love to have a music studio. I would love to be scuba diving every day. I would love literally just to do whatever I want. But actually realizing that God has called me to something greater than what I want. And that is, at this very point in time, is to serve Him with all that I have. With all that I have. And I truly want to encourage all of you guys today, this morning, is Jesus truly in your home? Is He in your marriages? Is He in your workplaces? Is Jesus there while you're hanging out with your kids? Is Jesus there when you're hanging out with your friends, when you're going out for a meal? Is He there? Because there will be a day that's all coming to us. Could be today, could be tomorrow. There will be a day when we stand before Jesus Christ and we will get to see Him face to face. We live as if that's not going to happen. We live as if everything matters only here. We forget or we tend to not believe that we will see Him face to face. Now, if you would apply that with knowing that that is true, how are you going to build your home here today? I want to encourage you guys to not waste the time that the Lord has given you. All of you guys have specific gifts that God has given you. Are you using it for His glory, for His kingdom? We're going to worship the Lord now. So let's pray. Father, we love You, and as we sing, as we respond in worship, we pray and we ask, Lord, that You would truly open our hearts. Father, as we are talking about building our homes, Lord, help us to be able to really focus on You. And Father, just going through these notes, going through this chapter, how it just convicts me, Lord, of my sin. Father, I pray that as we worship, as we sing, Lord, that we would truly bring things into perspective, Lord, this morning. Your word says you do not promise us a tomorrow, Lord, so I pray that today we would be able to focus on you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.